And good afternoon. So, I was given a scripture by God to read and to focus on. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And then as he sometimes does, he says, okay, now you have to go back to the origin of the statement and why the statement was made. And I was like, sure, that sounds like fun. And I went back to the beginning of the chapter, and he was like, wait, let me just show you how. Let me walk you through the process with me, so you can partake in the whole merry-go-round that God kind of walked me through. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 2, and the title of this message is "It's His Kindness." And that's the way he gave it to me, so that's the way I lay it out. It's his kindness. Somebody say, it's his kindness. Okay, we love that. That's a good message. This is kindness. Yes, Lord. Bring on the kindness. So, in Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 25, says this. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, but if you break the law and become as though you have not been circumcised, so then if, watch this, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, they will not be regarded as though if they were circumcised. Is that a question? That's a question. He's saying, so let me just give you that, the breakdown of this. He's saying, people run around talking about they're circumcised, but they don't keep the law. So if they don't keep the law, so you're born again, you circumcised, whatever your claim is to greatness, but you don't keep, he said, my law, you think you're going to be treated better than those who are not circumcised but do keep the law? So he's laying out a question here. The one who is not circumcised physically yet obeys the law will be condemned. Wait. Physically and yet obeys the law will condemn you, who, even though you have the written code of circumcision, are a lawbreaker. A person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcised merely outwardly and physical. And I was like, okay, we got something here, and I see you taking me somewhere, but what is it the point you want me to make? And he said, well, the first point is this and this alone. You're not righteous before me because you do all the right things legally or by the law if your spirit ain't right or your heart ain't right toward me in terms of my commandments or instruction to you. You know, there's another place where it says obedience is better than sacrifice. But this is when I said, okay, I guess I need to go back to the top here. And he's like, okay, so go ahead, go back to the top. So I did. And he said, it starts with this, verse 1. You therefore have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. We know that's in I think it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. As you judge, you'll be judged, and the way you measure will be measured to you. So now this is just being reiterated again. Okay, let's read it. Let's keep going. So you're condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So it's his kindness that leads you to repentance, is the way it's said in King James. God's kindness is put there to lead you to repentance. And for the longest time, I thought Okay, so you're going to lead me to repentance through kindness. And he said, no, my kindness is there to lead you to repentance. That's the method that I've designed. But you can choose another. Let's read it again. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness intent is intended to lead you to repentance? So the first statement in that is, do you show for like do you show contempt for that kindness? So stay with me close, because this is important. Because I've been standing on, and I've heard songs that said, it's his kindness that leads me to repentance. And I said, okay, so then the only way God leads me to repentance is through kindness. And what the scripture is saying here, that's what his kindness is designed for. But if you show contempt for that, it's a different situation. And then he starts talking about all of this judgment stuff. Okay, so if you're going to judge other people, then you have to be expect to be judged by the judgment that you issue out. If you don't have mercy and patience toward others, or forgiveness and forbearance toward others, how can you stand before God and expect God to show that to you? Well, that's a tough one, because I don't like that, because it's people you don't like, and you don't, even especially if you try to be nice and they nice to you just like let them burn in the pit. And God was like, no, don't do that. Because my kindness is sent for your deliverance. But here's where he got me kind of in the jam, where my chest got a little tight. He said, what's the very first verse say? The very first verse says, you therefore have no excuse who pass judgment on someone else. And that may sound like it's the point, and that I thought that may be the message, but it turned out not so much. Because one thing I learned a long time ago with Bible verses, if you see the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. So, in other words, therefore is a continuation of a thought. So, if it says, you therefore have no excuse, see what therefore is there for, meaning you got to go back some more, because therefore is there for a reason. So I said, okay, so I have to go back to chapter one to see what therefore is there for. I said, Lord, you trying to mess with a brother day, but here we go. So it starts with where God shows me this whole therefore thing starts is at verse 18 of chapter 1 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them since creation, the world of the world, God's invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from that what from what has been. Come on, dude. God, calm me down with this, because this is a lot. Okay, let's do this again. Breathe. Okay. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. That's it. I got it. I said it right. Said it clear that time. Let's try this again. So God's saying, these people who sin against or go against or renounce God or say God doesn't exist, I don't believe in your Lord and your sky daddy and all this stuff people put online and all these things that are insulting to you and make you sometimes want to argue with people that don't believe. He's saying, don't do all that. They know what they know, and it's clearly seen. They are not They are without excuse because I've made it clear to them. Whew. That means I don't have to beat truth into anybody. And if you're spending too much time trying to witness to somebody and show them Jesus, you are wasting your cotton picking time because he said the unknown is known by that which he's put there for them to see, and they had to make a decision to not see it. That's why when these people get on these comments and you mention God and they get angry and they call him your sky daddy and make a, I've said to a few people in conversation I've had, why are you so angry about something that you say doesn't exist? That's a lot of energy and frustration to put toward a God that you don't even believe is real. Like, if I said I believe in unicorns, they wouldn't get mad at that. They would just laugh at me and say, this jerk believes in unicorn. But you say you believe in God, and people become antagonized. Why do they become antagonized when you mention God? Because what this word just says, that the thing that's unseen, the God that's unseen, has made himself clear to them by those things that were just seen. They had to make a decision to renounce what their spirit bears witness to as truth. And that's why they become angry, bitter, and unaccepted of God. Something happened that didn't go the way they wanted to. Some tragedy happened that they can't understand and didn't choose to understand. And so they had to make a decision to darken or harden their heart against God. I knew God that was true from a child. When I became a teenager, because of circumstances and situations, I made a decision that God wasn't real. But in my heart of hearts, I always knew that the thing I was calling a lie was calling me a liar. You heard that. I said that right. The thing I was calling a lie was calling me a lie. Have any of you ever gone to a season of your life where you try to convince yourself that religion ain't real and God ain't real, just like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and everything else, and you try to throw God in that category and throw him out with all the other things mommy and daddy told you as a kid, but still in your insides, you knew that you were lying to yourself by calling this thing a lie. There was something always inside of you that bore witness that God is true. Anybody other than me that tried to walk away, but in your heart of hearts knew better? Only me? Okay, God. Well, just oh no, so not only me. Okay, because I you didn't wave or nothing at me, so I didn't know. So okay, so a head nod or something will help a brother out. So you understand, we go through that phase of life where we try to question what we believe. Even if we say, well, I'm not going to believe in this way of believing. I just believe God is for everybody. We try to, even if we say, I don't want to believe in Christ, then I don't believe in Christianity. I just want to believe. And it's a reason for it. And he says, okay, well, since creation, God of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So when anybody stands, well, what if people never heard about Jesus? And what about countries where people never? First of all, there's no such countries. I'm telling you that. Second of all, because Jesus spoke to me, like, not through a church. So there's no country where Jesus is not known. They may have a different name, but the Savior will appear to everyone, anywhere, everywhere. So, trying to say, and I've had people say this in their argument: Christianity is an American, that's an American doctrine, an American gospel. I'm like, no. It came from the Middle East, and it wound up in the Roman Empire, and is over here later because the people who came over brought that with him, and the Indians that were here before them, or the American Indians, would talk about a Jesus. So, or Messiah, they may not say Jesus, they may say Yeshua, but there's not a place in the world that God doesn't make himself known, his truth known to people. But here they said they're without excuse. Now, this is where it gets deep. This is where it gets deep. Okay? This is not me doing a rant. This is me reading the Bible. This is not me doing a rant. This is me reading the Bible. You do with it what you want, but whoever sees it and take issue with it, You are without excuse, the scripture said, because God's invisible powers and qualities and everything about his divine nature is made known and clear to you. And you know it, even if you want to fight it, it's here. So you got a beef with me, you take it up with God. If you don't believe with God, then when you leave this planet, you can take it up then, when the red button is getting pushed. That all I'm saying is, I'm just with no apology, I'm reading what the word says. So, again, this was God telling me to go from his kindness that leads to repentance, to going back to the beginning, to seeing the word therefore, and then having to go back to see what therefore was there for. Watch this. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and foolish, and their hearts were darkened. Okay, you read that. So when you don't want to give thanks to him and you don't want to honor him, your heart becomes dark. When you don't want to obey him when he's giving you specific instruction and you keep hardening your heart against him, your heart will become dark and you become victim of what your heart does. Watch this. Although they claim to be wise, does that not sound like them? The sky daddy people? Although they claim to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. They start to make statues of saints. They start to have birds and eagles and elephants for good luck. And okay, they begin to worship things, things made by man. Although they claim to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of God, of the immortal God, for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, because they did that, therefore, again, what is therefore? Therefore, I tried to go back to this therefore, and it made me go back to the top. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their heart, to sexual impurity. We're seeing a lot of this going down on the news right now, okay? Sexual impurity for the degradation of their bodies with one another. Watch this. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Stop right there. Created things worshiped over the Creator. What are you talking about? Bling, bling, gold. Designer clothes, fancy expensive cars. This became the desire of men more than God. Even Christian leaders, even church leaders, even whoever you want to call it. This became the drive, and the focus became their God more so than God himself. You, as a Christian leader, we as Christians have to be careful that we don't try to identify ourselves as Christians to people and as God-loving, successful people, as prosperity people by the things we have and what we acquire. It's a very slippery slope when we get on that road. I watch myself with that all the time. Okay, God, as you bless me with things, I don't want to try to use my things to show off that I serve you. I know I'm talking to somebody right here because that's what we want to do. We want to say, I see God, I know God is real, because look at the this I got and look at the that I got. And okay, but can people see that God is real in you when you don't have any of that? They're supposed to see God in you anyway. They're supposed to know your God is real anyway. He said the invisible God is being clearly seen and shown his glory and his power through the things that people can see on this earth. So, am I representing, I ain't talking about you, talking about me, am I representing God in just me being me by myself if I come with barefoot and in my underwear versus designer clothes and a fancy car and everything else? My God should be representing through me, not by what is seen in my physical objects, but in the spirit of God that flows through and out of me. Whew, that was a mouthful. Did that speak to somebody? Okay, let's keep going then. So he said although they knew God, verse 23, they didn't glorify God as God nor give him thanks, but their thinking became futile and foolish, and it was darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of God for of the glory of the immortal God, let me not leave that out, for things made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God, listen close to this now, and this is where it gets really, really thick. This gets really, really thick. Therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, and for degrading their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worship carved, created things rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised. Amen. So he said, therefore, God gave them over. And I want you to pay very close attention to this as I read it. So when you talk to people from LGBTQ and everything else, I need you to understand this. I can't believe they would do this. Because that comes from after the hardening of the heart. After the heart is hardened, after you turn away and choose otherwise, that goes for the fornicator, that goes for everybody. He said this happens because there's a hardening of the heart. And once the heart is hardened, then he said, okay, then fine. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to let you loose to go for it. If you choose fall, I'm going to let you loose to go free fall if that's your choice. So, let me see. I'm at 30. Let me see. I'm going to go to 20, back to 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Yeah, no, this is where I am. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men abandoned natural relationship with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committing sin, shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the penalty due for their error. This, when you talk to them, they don't want to hear nothing about this. But it is not just talking about them and what they did. It's talking about all men and women who harden their heart to God. Because watch this. When we talk about all the stuff that we're seeing in the news now with Combs and all that, it was with men and it was with women. It was like they became, if you don't remember, I asked a couple of weeks ago, not doing the message, but talking, I was like, what is it about wealth and success that make people become so driven by sex? I did not understand why men's penises just take over when they get rich or get in a position of power. Like, why does that thing control you so much like that? How much baby oil and orgies and drugs and pills does it take for you to go, okay, this is not even fun anymore? Like how depraved do you have to be that now you got to chain people and whip people? And like, what the heck is going on with this? Like, why is, to me, my mind always said, sex is not that powerful. Like, why would you give it that power? You're wealthy now. And the only thing you can think to do with this is debauchery. The only thing you can think to do with this wealth, is just to live lewd and lascivious and just go out of your mind. Like, what is it that makes the mind of the man reprobating? Yeah, I know I'm dropping a lot of big words, but just in case you understand, I am pretty scholarly when it comes to the word. I may not talk like it all the time, but yes, I have a vocabulary. And I've sat there and I'm looking at all of these things and I'm saying these people are just as lewd can be. And for what reason? And I saw it when I was there. Now I'm gonna talk about this real quick and I'm gonna jump off of it. But I remember being at some of these parties. You know, that's the regular party, not the after party and the after party. And it looks like around midnight, around 11:45 midnight, not only did the atmosphere change, and I didn't identify with it back then, And Esther talked about it when we were on one of the things. Like, yeah, no, I would wonder every time it would get around 11 o'clock. You're like, okay, I'm out, Esther. You can stay if you want. I'm out. I'm out. She said, wait, I want to wait. No, I'm out. And I start walking out the door, calling the cab. And she said, now I understand why you did this. Yeah, because the atmosphere changes. The kind of music that they're playing changes. The lights, they change the lighting in the room. The lighting gets more dark and more gloomy. And it's just a spirit that would come in the room that I'd be like, yeah, I'm out of here. It don't feel good. Now, my point is, so these people understand we're now getting ready to step into a different realm, and this realm is dark. So you see a lot of these successful artists now, you know, they're dressing like devils, posing like devils, wearing things that signify the devil, wearing horns, Megan, Doja, all of them. They like, and people think, oh, they're just entertaining. No, this is a side of the industry that you choose to embrace. And you choose this to embrace this because you know that the people, quote unquote, the elite, this is the life that they choose to live in. And if you want to run in this circle, this is what you do. This is why when I made that whole thing, like, yeah, you can say what you want to say about Puff, but he's not the head of the snake. You're not cutting off the head of the snake by bringing him down. There's another head, and then just like that, and cut it off, and a new head pops back on, two, three more. You're not doing anything by dragging him through the news. Nothing. Nothing. What they're doing is they're distracting us from what's really going on. And that's a whole different conversation I can bring up on Vision Builders. But stuff was going on with that have to do with the election. All of this stuff is tied together. It's all distraction. But this word is saying no. Anybody who darkens their heart against the glory of God and they choose to worship the creative thing over the creator, they are turned over by God to their lust to the point that they can't even control anymore how far they're going. That could be you and me if we don't watch our step. You find yourself in a place and saying, how the beep did I get here? Well, here's how you got there. You worship the created thing over the creator. You stop honoring and glorifying the God who created you. You start looking after the things of man over the things of God. You start putting everything before God instead of keeping God first. All of a sudden, your pride and your feelings, your opinion, your point of view becomes more important than God's. And what happens is you get turned over to something that is your choosing by God to the point that you can't even put the car in reverse and back out anymore. This is a real conversation today, and I didn't plan to have this conversation. I just thought when he gave me the scripture about kindness leads you to repentance, that was going to be a scripture about the goodness and sweetness of God. But surprise, 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 God pulled one on me. And I don't have to give it to you. So here we are. So watch this. Back to 26. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. For the degrading of their bodies with one another, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worship and serve the created thing rather than the creator. That's cars, jewelry, all that stuff. Who is forever praised, amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Somebody say shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual desires for unnatural ones. In the w same way, men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust toward one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men. And receiving in themselves, therefore, the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not be done. Their mind is depraved. They do it even though it shouldn't be done. They became filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They were filled with envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. They are slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boasters, and invent ways of doing evil. They come up with new ways to be more evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteousness decree, righteous decree, oh boy, that those who do such things deserve death. Whew. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Does this not sound like the world we're in today? Let me say something to you. So, people take this verse to pick apart the gays. And I hate the way church people like to be selective and pick the part they feel that don't apply to them to attack the people that they feel that they're better than. But in this same category that they want to make a big deal about the sinful nature of the LGBTQ community, he goes on and says, wait a minute, don't stop there and just try to make a whole message about them. This turning you over to your sexual or your evil or your lustful desires not just goes to that. It goes to heterosexual. It goes to homosexual. It goes to filled. They became filled with every kind of wickedness. Watch this. Evil, greed, depravity. Watch this. They become full of envy. Same category. The sexual. It's all in the same chapter. Envy. Murder. Strife. Deceit. Malice, gossips, slanders, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful, and invent ways to do and be evil. Watch this. No love, no mercy. Contentions against their parents as kids. This all goes in here. We can't nitpick and choose which sin is worse than the other. They all go here. Here's the thing that blew my mind. Gossip was in there. I was like, oh, shoot. You threw gossip in the same category as homosexuality and lust and murder. And whew. Okay, I need to zip my lip because I'm telling you right now, he said, all of you who choose to harden your heart against God gets turned over to this. Right? You may not be a fornicator and you may not be a murderer, but you be running that mouth. We all went through that phase where most of us, where we were rebelling against parents. Now, when we get to the kindness leads us to repentance, we understand he's covering a long gambit of ish that we walk around with. Yes, I said ish. I said it. Listen, we walking around with a whole bunch of stuff. So before he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. We're not better than the LBG. We're not better than the fornicator. We're not better than the adulterer. We're not better than the murderer. If any one of these things exists, the law says that he who offends in one offends in all. He who is guilty of one is guilty of all. So it's his kindness. So if we want God's kindness, then we have to be example of God's kindness to people who don't have it. Just keep this in mind. You're not going to convince a person who's made up their mind that they are going against him. They are now turned over. You got to pray for a window to open in their spirit so that they can receive. And it's going to be through your example, the unseen God, not the God you try to make them see. They're never going to see it. They're never going to hear it if they're darkened. So listen, that's why I say to people all the time, I don't have a anti-gay thing, but now I realize I can't have an anti-murder or anything else thing. I have to have
the heart of God toward all people. If I want his kindness to lead me to repentance, then I need to be kind enough in spirit and prayer for those who may be deeper in the pit than I've been. So don't forsake it, he said. Don't disregard his kindness, because it's there for your repentance. But it is his kindness that is ultimately the root to the salvation of us and all other involved. So now, well, when you get to therefore, chapter 2, you therefore, it doesn't say they, it says you. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else. Now, it makes sense. So we don't have a right to judge everybody and anybody else unless we don't do any of it, including gossip. It gets real out here. Here's what I'm saying. As unfair as it may seem to you, because I would never do what that person does, God's a fair God. And his mercy is available to everybody. And his love is available to everybody. And his forgiveness is available to everybody. So whether it be whoever's in the news now, Epstein, Weinstein, Combs, Cosby, and a bunch of people who have not been yet identified, right, that will soon be identified probably because of this case, right? Even Trump and Kamala, whatever her name, right? I was Camilla. We have to have understanding that we have to work out our own salvation in trembling and fear. And we can't sit there pointing our fingers at others, thinking that they're so much worse than us. And this is the revelation that God tricked me into by making me go to the kindness scripture and then flipping it on me and making me realize, you're not as great as you think you are you? No, Lord, I am not. Well, then, amen. Then have compassion in your prayer time for others, because apart from the love of Christ, that could be you. And that's why that scripture says, he who thinks he stands, or you think you better than somebody else in their walk, take heed lest you fall. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I want to take time right now, based on this whole gambit of depravity and sin that he named, and pray for everybody in every community, prisoners, people who have not yet found the Lord, people who have found the Lord but still won't walk with him. And I want to pray that God show them mercy and show us mercy and help us to be better examples of the love of God in Christ, not so much through what we say, but how we live and how we walk. Lord, we make a decision today by your Spirit to say yes, yes, yes to your love, that we receivers of it, but we're also dispensers of it. And that we don't look at anybody and judge anybody harshly. We have no right, for all have sinned. And Lord, if their hearts have become hardened and they've turned their back on you, we still pray for them. But we ask you for the grace and the anointing and the mercy to not to stand in judgment of anybody. For it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. And we pray that we don't harden our hearts toward ourselves, toward you, or toward anybody else to that kindness. Help us walk this out, Lord. It is not in our strength, Philippians 2:13, not in our own power, but it is you who works in us, both to will and to do your good pleasure. Help us be dispensers of that love that you freely give us. We commit to the task, and we pray for a spirit of ease as we do so. And we thank you in this Savior's name, Jesus, Yahshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Amen and amen and amen.